In Malachi chapter 1, I just want to give you both an encouragement and a warning. So I know that today is Friday. Soccer team's going to leave. Most of you have gone through an entire week of class and you're tired. Who's tired? Everybody's tired. Who has an exam after this? Hey, you know, shame on your teacher, but everybody else, good job, right? So good job. I know it's Friday. I've sat in your seat. I've slept too many chapels through. I understand if you fall asleep, I reap what I sow, and so I'm not going to call you out, and that's all okay. But what I want to warn you about or encourage you with is what Malachi addresses to the priests in chapter 1, and that's mainly this: you can go through the motions and produce nothing. I'm going to call this worthless worship. One writer said this: it's an unfortunate reality that words like excellent, devoted, and committed are almost exclusively used in our culture to describe the worth ethics of athletes, career men and women, and those who take pride in their hobbies. It is rarely used of pastors or Christian workers. That is true and a shame. And so what I want to do today with you is just give you five areas, kind of check marks to check your own heart. You can learn all the right procedures, you can learn all the right doctrine, you can fill your head with knowledge, but if your heart is empty, God is not pleased with us. I have always been amazed at how graphic the Bible is. In fact, we came home one day and our kids were talking, and I think it was daughter at that point, said, "Eli, I'm going to cut your head off." I was like, whoa, who in the world is teaching you this? And she said, "Miss Eva from Sunday school class, we just learned about David and Goliath." And I was like, the Bible's corrupting my kids. So, in Malachi, and don't, you know, like we're having fun, but in Malachi chapter 2, God says to the priest, if you continue doing ministry like this, I'm going to take the dung from your sacrifices and I'm going to shove it and wipe it in your face. And in King James it says this: I will spread the dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast. Now, I think my paraphrase is good, but that's what he's saying. So this is no laughing matter. This is a temptation for all, but probably especially for you here today. And probably most for staff members who have been able to go through Christian ministry, not just for 4 years, but now maybe 5, 10, 15, 20 more. You can begin to learn to fake it. I'm in ministry now for 11 years. I can begin to fake it. No heart, all show, empty. Seniors, you're probably the second most likely. And then juniors, and sophomore, freshmen, we're only in September. So if you're already struggling, that's not good. But it will come. So let me just give you five warnings that Malachi gives to the priests about how God is disappointed with their worship. Look with me in verse 6. Number one, point number one, they have a despising spirit. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you? O priests that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? You have offered polluted bread upon my altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say the table of the Lord is contemptible. This is a group of priests who, while they're still offering bread and they're going through the motions of what priests would do, God calls them out because, first of all, they begin to have a despising kind of spirit. They no longer look forward to. It's no longer an encouragement to be in God's ministry. It's no longer a time where they're excited about what God's doing. They just kind of despise even being here. Don't raise your hands, but some of you perhaps walked up the Anderson Mountain with a despising kind of heart. You're no longer excited to be here. You're no longer excited, or at least in the moment, you're not excited about what God's doing. You just kind of have become used to it. It's become mundane. It's become just kind of another day. The word for contemptible is the Hebrew word baza, which means to despise or vile or worthless or just to become kind of despicable. You no longer have the joy anymore. It's just duty. They did this to Jesus. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, he is despised, same word, and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Have you ever gone to church with just kind of a, oh, I don't want to go tonight, but I'm going to go because I have to, because I get an infraction? Or Christian service, chapel, right? All of us fall into it at times. But just be careful. Be careful. This is a warning to all of us that are in ministry or going into ministry or filled in kind of a bubble, right? We're all there. You have to be careful because you can begin to despise these things. Number two, you can give just mediocre quality. Mediocre quality. Look in verse 8. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto your governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? Verse 8 gives you kind of the second stage or second kind of lead in to a worthless worship. And that is you just kind of give it mediocre effort, right? You just kind of go through the motions. These priests were priests. They knew what their job was. And God did not accept lame, blind, or sick animals. And yet they are taking this from the people because, frankly, they just don't care enough to confront somebody and say, look, you can't be given that. Right? They just kind of, okay, whatever, just give me what you got. Kaiser points out this, that God had instructed that animal sacrifices were to be free of all blemishes in Exodus 12, 29, Leviticus 1, chapter 1, verse 3, verse 10, chapter 22, verse 18 to 25, Numbers chapter 6, chapter 19, Deuteronomy 15, 17, Ezekiel 45. It's not like these guys didn't know what was going on. But over time, where before you begin kind of passionate and maybe not literal, but kind of, you know, you're doing it, giving it your very best. Over time, ministry can just kind of wear you down. Class can just wear you down. Where before you might get a study group together and study for something your freshman year, Bible doctrine overview or whatever you got, and all and as you kind of come through, you eventually just kind of begin to say, you know what, forget this. I'm just going to do the best I can while I post stuff on Facebook all day, right? Or you just kind of get used to it. Mediocre quality. So just in your own situation, whether sports or class or fine arts or practices or whatever it might be, just ask yourself, ask the Lord, are you giving what you can? Or are you just kind of mediocre, half-hearted? We'll go here. Let's just take, I'll give you three practical ones. In Hebrews chapter 13, the author of Hebrews writes this, through him, speaking of Christ, then let us continually offer up sacrifices, he's going to give three, sacrifices of praise, that is the fruit of our lips in acknowledging his name. Number two, do not neglect to do good. And number three, to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So let's just take, you know, just your last week, right? Three things Hebrews points out that since we don't actually offer up, you know, baby lambs, like, you know, Mary's not bringing her lamb up here, and we're going to like sacrifice and let blood go all over this place. Because the sacrifice is done, we offer sacrifices of praise. How was your singing just a few minutes ago? Did you really sing with heart and with gusto and with some passion, with some volume? Or just kind of go through the motions, adequate, it was adequate. It's a temptation. It's a place to judge where you are, where your spirit is, where your offering, where your worship is. Second would be to doing good, right? You pass that piece of trash, do you pick it up, do you not pick it up? You go and get gas, and so do you help the neighbor, or do you not help the guy at the you know, gas station right beside? When you go to the mall, are you evangelizing, you're not evangelizing? As you help a student, do you help them, do you not help them? All those kind of things, all the doing good. How is your good works? Hebrews tells us not to neglect to do good. And third, how's your giving? Now, many of you are broke, like broke, broke. But when you get a little money, do you hold it? Do you grasp it? Do you kind of, you know, protect it? Or do you, you know, you may blow it on yourself. Or is there a part in you that wants to give? Right? It doesn't matter how much money you have. It just matters what heart do you have. If you have a giving heart, you're going to share. You may not have as much to share, but you still share. How are you doing? If those are the sacrifices that Hebrews points out that we are to give, how are your sacrifices? Mediocre? Good? None at all? Just ask yourself those questions. Number three. Look over in verse 12. We're going to come back to 9 through 11 in just a moment. Verse 12 gives the third, a judgmental attitude. Judgmental attitude. But you have profaned it. That's still, it's technically speaking of my name mentioned in verse 11, but the worship is the same idea. But you have profaned it, saith the Lord, in that you say, the table of the Lord is polluted, the fruit thereof, even his meat is contemptible. Again, contemptible means worthless, without, it's a despised or kind of vile idea. Their own priests are calling the worship that's being given worthless. They're calling what they're doing worthless, right? You can begin through your own speech. It's what they're saying, not necessarily what they're doing, but the speech thus represents their heart. And so out of their heart, they begin to give judgment on what they are a part of, and that's the worship of God. Have you ever judged another student? They don't love God. I'm not sure they're saved. A teacher? They're terrible. I don't get anything out of their class. Who are we to judge another person's worship? Right? Who are we to decide whether or not someone is giving their very best? Who are we to decide where on the scale of spiritual growth or non-growth that we see in another person or in someone else or in what we're even doing here? Who are you to say those things, right? Isn't that what God's saying right here? Verse 12, you've profaned it in that you say the table of the Lord is polluted. When you have in your own mind and heart despising kind of heart and spirit, and then you kind of just give halfway, and then ultimately it begins to come out of your mouth, oh, I got to go to chapel today. I got to usher today. I got Christian service today. Friend, what Malachi is saying is that is worthless. It's worthless. Fourth. Last time I was here, I went way over and like felt like I did, so we're going a little faster. Verse 13. Number four, it's just wearisome participation. You said also, behold what a weariness it is, and you have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And you brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick, thus you brought an offering. Should I accept this from your hand? Now, weary, of course, is simply that. It's just a tired fatigue. Right? They're just fatigued at ministry. They're tired of it. And while, granted, they're lifting full animals up onto an altar. I mean, you can imagine why they don't let, you know, teenagers in the priesthood. You had to be like 30 to 50, right? Because you have to bend with your knees and take a bull. Maybe there's probably two or three helping. But you got to take a bull and lift that joker up onto an altar. Now that would be wearisome, right? I mean, you would get tired after a day of that. But I've been amazed at how tired you can get from spiritual, mental ministry as well. We've had an internship a couple of years now going, and among those guys, some have come from farming backgrounds where they work all day, right? Hot sun, out in the field. Another guy worked outside, hot sun, and they came into the internship where they're reading theology, and they're going on visits, and they're seeing people cry in counseling sessions for the first time, and they go home mentally, physically exhausted. Bible college is an exhausting time, right? It really is. If you care and you pour yourself into it, it is exhausting. You've already admitted it, right? Everybody, I think everybody raised their hand. That's okay. We're not saying ministry is going to be easy. What he's mentioning is an attitude of weariness. And this old idea right here where it says snuffed at, ESV kind of takes the idea of puffing or huffing. So it's the idea like when you're in church, you know what I'm talking about, where you kind of like, all right, please stand and sing, and you go, that right there, that little huff, that's the wearisome part, right? It's not a, let's stand and sing, and you're like, you don't have to go, yes! I mean, that's kind of weird, and you'd probably draw attention to yourself, but just not that kind of, that's what God's saying isn't acceptable. Now, when you're old, and you got arthritis, and it hurts to stand, I think there's a little room for some huffing or kind of stuff, right? That's okay, but you're not there. You're young. There's no need for huffs or sniffs or snuffs or whatever else you want to add in there. Don't be weary. Look, it is a shame if when you get out of here and you go into any ministry from camping to youth to pastoral to whatever it would be, and you drive to work looking like everybody else. That is a shame. You have the best jobs in the world, most important jobs in the world, and you cannot go just kind of like, well, I got to go to work again today. Can't wait to get off at 5 because the new movie's coming out. There's got to be something different. God demands something different. You can't just be weary in it. And last, most dangerously, it's just straight up hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. You finally get to this point. You move from despising down into just kind of mediocre offerings. Then it leads into judgmental speech. Then it leads into kind of just weariness. You just do it because you have to. And then finally, you just begin to live in true hypocrisy. Verse 14, but cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the nations. So this is the guy, and it's not the priest, it changes it a little bit. We're talking about an offerer this time. It's the guy who says, God, if you get me out of this problem, if you let me get through college and not, you know, be totally broken, way, way, way in debt, if you just provide for me to get through, when I get out, I will serve you. What, you know, whatever, you get the idea. And this day, God, you let my crops do well, I'll give you Betsy. I'll bring her, and I'll offer her, and when time comes, he doesn't take Betsy, he takes the one that's sick or got eat up by some, you know, lion in the land or whatever, and he brings this kind of broken, beat up, old bull or sheep or goat or whatever it would be, and he offers the false one, and God says, cursed is that man. Cursed is that offering. That is worthless to me. Now, here's, I'll just open up a little bit for you. In Bible college, I think it was my junior summer, I found out that my own youth pastor, who had graduated from here, who was a good youth pastor, I mean, I'm talking like good, okay? He was great. He actually, from his youth group, there were 5 of us who went into ministry. I mean, I'm talking like poured his heart into us. Over time, so over the time that we had graduated, so this is about 5 to 6, 7 years in, somehow, I don't know somehow, this is how, he went through this entire process while still in ministry, ruined his marriage, and has since then just become a straight-up alcoholic where he will call me at times drunk, asking for help, crying his eyes out. My best friend in ministry, a couple years ago, fell because he got involved with someone else, and so it didn't get physical, but it was emotional enough that he lost his job. I've had to church discipline 2 deacons in my first year as a senior pastor. That was awkward. These were friends, right? I knew these guys. I worked with them. And it wasn't like all of a sudden they are serving Jesus, and then the next moment they're like, wake up in a bed with somebody and say, well, who are you? How does this happen? It's a slow slide, right? It's a slow fade, where you go just kind of through the motion so much that you kind of lull yourself to sleep thinking you're okay. And ultimately, you end up living a hypocritical life. And ultimately, you get found out. And then you wake up. Some of those guys are now back in church. Some of them aren't. It's about 50-50. Just be careful. Be careful. These were priests that Malachi was dealing with. As it goes on, they've left their spouses in chapter 3 and married foreign women. I mean, it's a bad, bad situation. So before you actually get into ministry and feel the pressure of all of that, I'm just letting you know, guard your own heart. Do you despise it? Are you giving mediocre quality? Are you judging others? Have you already become weary with serving the Lord? Are you just hypocritical already? If so, friend, verses 9, 10, and 11 are for us. Okay, they're for us. Look in verse 9. This is simply the idea of turn to the Lord, right? And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? In other words, plead with him. Come before him. Beg him. I pray that you beseech him. That idea of beseech is literally the idea of smoothing over. It has the word is halach, which just simply means to appease, pacify, find favor in somebody, to entreat. It's literally to butter up, right? To smooth over. Have you ever heard that phrase like, hey, you know, quit trying to butter me up? What Malachi is actually suggesting is that these priests turn to the Lord in such a way that they are buttering him up. Beseech him, seek after him, that he might be gracious unto you. Verse 10, repent. Right? Who is there among you that would shut the doors for naught, neither do kindle a fire on my altar for naught? For I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. Just shut the doors. If you're going to be fake about it, if you're going to be false about it, let's just not do it, is what God says. It's not one of those, look, something's better than nothing. With God, he just says, don't do it at all. It's not something's better than nothing. I'd rather have nothing than have something. Shut the doors. Don't start a fire. Don't lit up the altar. Just turn people away and shut it if we're going to do it like this. That's what God would say to us who are just kind of going through the motions. And verse 11 is the sweet side, right? Whenever you repent, trust in Jesus, right? That's how it goes. Verse 11, for from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great even among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, here's the sweet spot. Malachi doesn't end with, try harder. Malachi doesn't end with, you repent, shut the doors, or try really hard. What he says is, look, shut the doors if you're going to be false about it, but one day there's going to come a change in worship, and that change is going to end up like this. You're going to offer incense, not sacrifices. Do you see the change? In a whole chapter on offering sacrifices and lambs and sick and lame and, you know, all those kind of things, when it comes time for a real heart change, he doesn't say go offer a bull. He says that God's name is going to be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered unto my name. And here's the key, a pure offering. Now, pure, there's numerous Hebrew words for all these things. If you're taking Greek or Hebrew, let me just plead with you to pour yourself into them. Because in this particular situation, the Hebrew word for pure is not a ceremonially pure word. Okay, that's not what it means. This is a word of pure, moral, physical, character kind of pure. When Malachi says, look, the answer to your problem is not going to be try harder, ceremonial purification. What's going to be the answer to your problem is a pure sacrifice, both moral and physical. And friend, you and I know who that is. When Jesus Christ died on that cross for you and for me, he was a pure moral sacrifice that ended all sacrifices so that the only thing left for us to do is lift up praise to him and good works and financial giving and all the other things that the New Testament requires of you. So friend, when you think here and you think, yeah, okay, I got a despising spirit and I'm kind of mediocre in my you know, thought process, and maybe I'm just giving halfway, and I've judged that teacher and that student, and I've kind of, you know, I need a change. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back and I'm going to work hard and do my devotions. That's not the answer. The answer is, yeah, you need to stop, but you turn to Christ. Too much spiritual growth in Christian living begins like this. Jesus can save me by grace through faith. But now, my spiritual growth, I'm going to work that out. Just as God saved you by grace, he will change you by his grace. And all you can do is trust in him. Right? Just come out and say, God, I'm a hypocrite. I've been living like a hypocrite. And by the way, you might be here today and you're a student and you've been here and you have faked your Christian walk all the way through possibly Christian high school and Christian family and church, and even now you're at Bible college and you don't know this Savior at all. It's all just been, not a game, but it's all been fake. Friend, if you're here today, put your faith in Jesus Christ. Just put your faith in him. If you're here today and you are a Christian, still, again, fresh and anew, put your faith in him. That's what he requires. Come out and say it. Come out and own it. Let it go. And then just trust Him to change your heart. Remember that passage in, this was going to be the scripture memory passage. It's in Philippians. And we're going to end here. If I can turn there. Philippians chapter 2, right in the middle of all of the humility talk of Jesus as an example, and then Timothy as an example, and Epaphroditus as an example. Right in the middle of all that, you have these two verses that seem at odds with one another, but this is exactly what God is asking of us to do today. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, or not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will, to have the will to do it, and to do of His good pleasure. That's what I'm asking you today. So yes, decide in your mind, you're going to work it out. You're going to change. You don't want to live like this pathetic, unworthy worship. But you also know that it's only God who can change your heart. It's only He who can change your will, He who can change your actions, He who can change all of you. So friends, today, look, you're in a dangerous spot. You're in a great spot, but you're in a dangerous place. Because it is a bubble. And because you can fake it. But when you leave here, you can't fake it. God will find you out. And He will remove you. So before all of that pressure and just damage gets done, settle in your heart right now. You're going to give your very best as you wash and work in the dish room for lunch. You're going to give your very best as you clean up this afternoon, the campus if you work for the maintenance team. You're going to do your very best in English class or Greek class or, I don't know, history class or whatever you might be doing. You're going to do your very best in that. When you go out tonight and you have fun on Friday night, do you get to stay out to 12 or is it 1? 12. As you get to stay out till 12 and you're running back to the dorms and get in before the late lights and get the other thing. As you do all that, enjoy one another. Man, do it great. Because God cares. He really cares. So just love one another. Love the Lord. And just go through that checklist in your mind with your heads bowed and eyes closed as we end today. You're in a place where your minds will be stretched, challenged. But the question I have for you today is this: how is your heart? So I'm just going to walk you through one more time those five things. Do you have a despising spirit? Number two, are you giving mediocre quality? Number three, do you have judgmental speech? Even this morning, have you said things that are just judgmental and critical? Number four, are you weary with having to do things for the Lord? And number five, are you just being a hypocrite? Saying one thing, doing another. Friend, you can't live there. God won't let you live there. If you're His son or daughter, He will chase you down. So just come to Him now. Shut the doors on that. Start fresh and new.